It was a good evening, good afternoon, not a good evening. My name is Eldridge Johnson, and I'm on behalf of the Jackson Drain Lane issue. As residents of Norwood Lane, which I reside on, which connects to the Jackson Drain Lane. It's just north of Jackson Drain Lane. It's all connected. Jackson Drain comes out on Chiefs Road, and it's connected, and it comes out in between River Winds and Oak Meadows, which goes on to Oak Orchard Road. So I'm on the other end of Jackson Drain, so I'm connected altogether. So I'm concerned with the development plan proposed by the Stillwater builders, and I understand they want to put an emergency entrance on Jackson Drain Lane, which I oppose of, because if they start using this access road, the residents will end up probably on my road. And my property is also farmland, which was going through the generations like the Clarks was. My grandfather was also a Nanticoke, and that's been, of course, my their grandfather was the chief. My grandfather was the assistant chief. So we all family down in Oak Orchard. So I've been residing there all my life, and I ain't planning on going nowhere. But anyway, anyway, this is a single, this is the same type road, gravel, and the only one residents that is used, the only ones that use that road is residents. It's gravel. We maintain the road. DelDOT does not maintain that road. So we keep upkeeping this road together.
Okay.
So my land is also used for farmland. It's over 45 acres back there.
Okay.
So we have land just like the Clarks.
Okay.
So my concern is we oppose, if they start using this exit, the residents and everything will be down, instead of turning right going out to Chiefs Road, they'll be down our way.
Okay.
So we oppose to that. And the other issue is the residents on River Road. I've been there all my life. When you come from, not Chiefs Road, but you come from the other end, Layton Davis Road, it don't show on the map. It's a bad curve right there. But it's also a high elevated curve. So when you go around that curve, it's a blind spot there. And the entrance is right there to the Stillwater, what they're trying to get proposed. So that's going to be a safety issue right there, too. And also, ever since I've been here, it's been flooded out. If you take them trees out from that development, the water that is there is going to create more water.
Okay.
So what are we going to do? What you going to do with that? It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. So I keep mine short for now. So in summary, we concur with the statements from the residents of Jackson Drain Lane, and I do not consent. Also, emergency entrance on Jackson Drain Lane or anyone from the planned Stillwater development to access, which is also connected to Norwood Lane. So thank you very much.
All right, sir, we thank you. Let's see, we're back to this side. Anybody left back here? Come on up, all the way in the back. Okay, now let's tell us something different, maybe, okay? Or if you're just going to say the same thing, do it in about 2 minutes, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good evening. My name is Teresa Ziegler Townsend, and I live on River Road.
Okay.
I've heard a lot here this evening, and all very pertinent. But while sitting back there the entire time, I had my mom on my shoulder telling me, kiss. Keep it simple, silly. But there were things that just weren't adding up. Numbers. Earlier today, I had, the only thing that I had access to was the 2021 site application. So doing the numbers on total acres, open space, balance, tidal wetlands, non-tidal, total acres left for homes and the number of homes, that came to about 0.19. And that equates to about 5 houses an acre. And I'm like, that's a whole lot. And it's more than what they're saying in their plans, which was 2.28. That's almost, well, that is double. So as I listened this evening, the numbers kept changing, whether it was open space or it was what was being taken down or left and so forth. But there were two numbers that I noticed that stayed the same all evening. And that number was the total number of acres at 53.91, and their number of units per acre, in the which was also in the 2021 application, which was 2.28. So if you multiply the total number of acres, that's without removing any open space or anything else, 53.91, and times that by 2.28, which is their numbers per units per acre, that comes out to 122.9148. Okay. Pretty much 123 units.
Yeah. And your point is?
Where's the open space going to be if you're using the total number of acres times their 2.28?
The total number of acres is used to calculate it, to calculate the density, okay? The open space acres, not, that doesn't mean that those houses will be evenly distributed over the entire site. There will be, I think the applicant testified, and I'm simply giving you information, I'm not carrying water for them, I'm just telling you what I heard. I heard them say, I think 47% open space, is that right?
47.2.
Yeah, okay, open space, which means that all those houses are going to be on 52.2% or whatever it is, whatever is not open space, that's where the houses will be. So they're not evenly distributed all throughout the whole mm-hmm. site.
No, I understand, but I mean, simple math, I mean.
Well, I just gave you the simple math.
Well, the other thing is too, there's a deduction for.
The gross acreage of the site has to be reduced first for the presence of wetlands.
You divide by the number.
Well, I understand that, but is, okay, riddle me this. Is the total number of acres of the proposed site 53.91 acres?
The site area is 53.7 acres, plus there's additional acreage underneath. So it actually says in the data column, this is on the data column on the title sheet on the first page, it says total area 57.107 acres.
And that's with the additional acres that they've just acquired.
Correct. And that's the gross acreage for the purposes of the way it's calculated in code. So
okay.
It's a 57 number, so yeah.
Okay. You can't change the math and you can't change the numbers.
Trust me, I mean, staff is going to go over that with a fine-tooth comb, and whatever the acreage is and whatever the calculations are, they will not take the developer's word for that. They're going to do their own independent takeoffs to make sure that it's correct.
Yes, sir. The other point that I had to make was with regards to the traffic. The number that was given was 1,058 trips per day at which, if you divide that into 24 hours, comes to 44 cars per hour. And that is one car for every 1.36 minutes. I believe the lady that was speaking earlier had mentioned something about 4 minutes. Just taking the numbers and keeping it simple, silly. And I'm talking about thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. All right, back to this side. Anybody here? Yes, sir. Okay, tell us something we haven't heard.
All right, my name's Jan Harmon.
Okay,
I'm the one with the property that I got across with this emergency exit.
Yeah, okay.
They've came to me before for access for that and Glenning, and we told them no.
Okay.
So I don't understand how they can cross my property for this emergency road that is proposed on my side to get ambulances or whatever out of it.
They're claiming that they have an easement. that's what they're talking about.
Anything across my property?
I suspect, depending on what the commission wants to do, we're going to investigate that a little.
We're going to investigate that, but that apparently is what's being suggested, that an easement was granted years ago that travels with the land that they've purchased. And that's what they're saying. That's all I can tell you.
All right. And the next thing is, the emergency people were saying that they had to take fire trucks or whatever back there. You get this flooding, and homeowners are not supposed to use this here easement for an emergency. So how are them people going to get out to the store or whatever?
Well, go out the front, I guess.
Yeah, but the roads are closed.
Well, I guess they're going to stay home. I don't know.
All right. What they're saying is that they would, that the HOA has access to that emergency
access. Well,
they're saying the HOA
can open the gate. Yeah. So I guess the answer would be that they could open the gate in an emergency. There would be an emergency if the road was flooded. That would be an emergency. So I imagine they're just going to open the back gate and people have to come in and out of there.
But that was saying by the fire company that the people would come in and out of that. But by planning and zoning, it says ambulances and fire trucks.
Well, I imagine it'll be a little bit of everything if it actually happens. But they're a ways away from that.
Yeah,
we don't know about the easement yet. We got to find that out.
Yeah, well, I got the easement right here.
So.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You want to submit it for the record?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, you turn it in. That they'll be happy to take it. Okay, let's see. We're back over on this side again. One once, one twice. Anybody?
Over here.
Got one over here? Okay, we're back over here. Okay, come on. Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
You can go ahead, ma'am. We're good.
My name is Patty Deptula. I live in Georgetown, Delaware. I'm not going to expound on my main concern is the disappearance of woodlands in Sussex County and the disappearance of other species besides ourselves, which I do believe this site has many. If I put my glasses on, I'll be able to see. Okay, I think, you know, most of the species that are out there, if they're not already threatened, they're going to be, because we're losing homeland for them. The habitat's disappearing, like I said, throughout, but specifically in this area, if you look around how much development has occurred, it's just insane. It's absolutely insane. Route 24, I'm sure you guys have been on it, right? Yeah, way too long, right?
We live here.
Okay, and I wanted to touch on wetlands, but they've been beaten pretty good, so, I mean, we know how important they are.
Got it.
They do, you know, it will impact greatly their flooding issues. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And also, talking about trees, you know, nobody brought up about the fact of how much oxygen trees and vegetation that we need to live. I mean, people minimize that, and they look at me and they laugh, but that's simple biology. Plus, they take up our carbon dioxide. I think that's crucial. It's a crucial part of a healthy ecosystem. We don't want to get to the point where we have to have air districts like we do sewer districts or water districts, do we? I mean, it's not as funny as it used to be. Anyway.
Thing or two about sewer districts.
Yeah, she can.
I think she does.
She always said, hey, what's going on? What's this about? The sewer does nothing but promote development. We all know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like it or not, right? And you've had a lot of people sitting in here that don't like it. This is where their homes, this is where they live. They have to look at this every day. When sewer was put in there, I know they were told that they're going to serve the area. It wasn't done to provide for this type of growth.
Yeah, it was to take the septic systems offline.
Right, and yeah, I think in...
And they've done that.
In fairness to the people who were making those decisions 40 years ago, it was about septic systems. I don't know that it was primarily done to facilitate development, but that's certainly what ended up happening. I don't think the people who were promoting it, as someone else said, sometimes things are done with one intent and they end up serving another intent that they never envisioned, and that may have been...
Oh, I envisioned it. Believe me.
Who knows? So, anyway.
Actually, let me just jump right to, I think this property would be an exceptional acquisition by the Sussex County Land Trust to be left as a natural undisturbed wildlife area. Councilman Hudson actually expressed that same viewpoint at one of the meetings that this group had that I attended. And Councilman Vincent was just recently quoted in the Gazette as saying, protecting Sussex County's natural unspoiled landscapes is critically important, not just to ensure that we preserve open space for future generations, but also to safeguard the very essence of who and what we are as a community. It's our quality of life and beautiful scenery that help make this area special, and the county is proud to do its part. I would ask that every one of you do your part to help conserve the county's natural lands, including what we have here, this beautiful tract. Listen to the people that are objecting to this proposal, deny the subdivision, and furthermore recommend that this property be included on the Sussex County Land Trust acquisition list. I'll leave you with a parting quote from a biologist that I find pretty profound, David Attenborough. How could I look at my grandchildren in the eye and say I knew about this and I did nothing? Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Okay, who's next? Okay, yes, ma'am, come on over here.
The Sussex County Land Trust is a nonprofit. You can all make donations to it.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and thank you for all the work that you do for the county. I would like to ask that you do use the County Code 99-9C to deny. Oh, I am so sorry. Jumped right in there, didn't I? Judy Rose Seibert. I live in Lewis, Delaware.
Okay.
I would ask that you use 99-9C to deny this subdivision proposal, because for all the reasons that have been mentioned tonight, and for after all the testimony here, I ask that you honor Chief Clark's testimony that his ancestors are buried in these grounds, and that you promote preserving this land and preserving this land for its cultural legacy, and to honor the Nanticoke people from whom we have taken much land. I hope that there's someone here who can still testify to the fact that during the school year, there's occurrence of sunny day flooding and storms, that the school children who are normally dropped off at another point have to be dropped off at the local fire station because the buses can't get through the flooding. And this certainly adds additional danger to the school children of that area. So I hope there's someone who will come up and testify to that. I also would like that if, in the unbelievable chance that you approve this subdivision, that you put a condition of approval on it, that there cannot be any cutting of the trees within the buffers, and that the buffer distance be marked off before bulldozers are allowed onto the area. We know what happened in Brentwood. 100-year-old trees were taken down because the preliminary site plan, that was just the preliminary site plan, and because the trees could be bulldozed, the owner had the right to bulldoze those trees. But I'm asking you to, for all of your proposals that are before you, that you put on an additional condition of approval, that those mature trees be protected that are within the buffer and marked, the buffer marked. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, who's left? All right, right there, left hand in the air, come on. Okay.
Hi. I'm Julie Decker. I live on River Road. I just wanted to say about the school buses.
Yeah.
My kids, they're older now, but we were the only family in the flooding for busing. You do get a phone call in the middle of the day, you're at work, saying you have to get to the fire hall to pick your kids up. If you're flooded in, you can't get to your kids to pick them off the bus, and they're dropped off at the fire hall. So it is valid. So, but I just wanted you guys to
know. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing that. Okay. All right. Who's next? Going once, twice, last chance. Anybody who's sat here 6 hours and doesn't want to talk, really? Okay, well, God bless you.
No.
You've said quite enough. And by the way, the rules of the commission are one trip to a customer, so we couldn't even if we wanted to. So, all right. Well, believe it or not, we have to ask this question. Operator, is there anyone standing by electronically who wants to comment on? I've been so long, I forgot what this thing's called. Subdivision 2021-23, Stillwater Harbor.
Hey,
Julie.
Hello, good evening. This is Julie. This is 483 Michigan Circle. I'm sorry I had to call you, but there's a couple of things, very short. One is, I heard that somebody said the land where the trees are, where the houses are going to be built, that land is high, off-land, I think I heard. And I agree with that. I was standing on River Road looking at the site, and I saw the band of ghost trees, and behind it there were mature trees, and I could see the land was much higher where the trees were. And I could understand why the land is higher. That is because the trees were holding the ground. If the trees are cut, I can kind of imagine how the land could maybe not hold itself. So that's one thing. And the second that nobody has talked about is I'm concerned about saltwater intrusion. As we pull more water out of the groundwater, it leaves the bedroom, and the saltwater can get into the groundwater. So I think that's something all the communities around the bay and the ocean have to worry about in the future. And that's my comment. I hope it's a short video. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Operators, or anybody else standing by?
We have Tina on the line. Tina, your line is open.
I was there earlier today. I sat for 4 hours and listened to Stillwater and all of their experts talk, okay? And I understand, I'm sorry, I'm a little worked up. I have to see because I had to come home and feed my kids. I see eagles all the time. I'm not trying to reiterate what everyone else says, but I think it's important that you understand that there are eagles here. I've been working like 7 a.m. from 7 a.m. and I know you probably have to and you're tired and you're frustrated just like I am. But there's no reason for you to allow one entity to dominate this entire conversation, which they did for 3 hours. And now when people come up that are on the other side, you're getting upset with them and giving them time limits. That's not okay. Anyway, I can also testify to the fact that the buses can't get through. I have 5 children, and I get calls at 5:30 in the morning telling you that I have to drop my kids off at the fire station. You're going to have a whole other community in here, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to have to do the same thing, and the only way they're going to get through is the emergency access. So emergency is a flood where they have to drive through the salt water. That's not okay. I realize everybody's tired, but, you know, we pay taxes, and we pay for you to be there to help us. And it seems like you're on the other side, because when we're talking, you're cutting us off and telling us we have a time limit, but you gave them 4 hours. I was there.
Ma'am, would you let me respond to your comment?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, the presentation by the applicant lasted about an hour and a half, I think, and then I think we had about a half hour of questions. The opposition testimony has been going on for about 3 hours, 3.5 hours. So the idea that the opposition has not been given equal time just isn't appropriate. In the beginning of the meeting, we reviewed the rules of the commission, and one of the rules of the commission is that we ask you to refrain from being repetitive. And if we get repetitive to the point that it is no longer beneficial to the commission, then the chairman has the right to limit anyone's testimony, and I exercise that right. So I appreciate what you're saying, and I know that it seems like they were testifying for 4 hours, but they really weren't. So just wanted to clear the air and set the record straight on that.
I'm going to get her name for the record.
Would you give us your name for the record? Because
I understand what you're saying, and yeah. I appreciate that. However, okay. I was there, and it was longer than an hour now, but that's beside the point. I don't want to argue with you. Ridiculous.
I agree.
What you should understand is that all these people that are there right now are there because they're fighting for their community.
We understand that.
We understand.
Yeah, this isn't our first rodeo. This isn't our first rodeo. Can I take this, Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
This isn't our first rodeo, ma'am. And the notion that you're paying us to be here, this is basically a volunteer appointment where we get a small amount of money to cover our expenses. So, and we're passionate about Sussex County, too. And we listen to every word that's said and take it under consideration. So criticizing our chairman for doing his job, it's uncalled for, and it's not pertinent to tonight's hearing.
Unacceptable.
I do need her. Well, if I'm out of line, I apologize. I just heard the way that he was speaking to the woman that was before Teresa, and it really, I was appalled.
I was appalled at her.
And he just kept coming off.
Ma'am, can we have your last name, please, for the record?
Yeah.
Yes, my name is Tina Romy, and I live in Riverdale.
Romy? Are you saying Romy?
Roni. Okay. Yeah. All right, Ms. Okay. Roni. Thank you very much. We appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, operator, is there anyone else standing by who would like to speak?
We have Jessica on the line. Jessica, your line is open.
Good evening. My name is Jessica Eshold. I live in Georgetown, Delaware. I am a lifelong resident of Delaware and can trace my roots back to the incorporation of the Manchoke Tribe as well. The reason why I'm calling tonight is because, obviously, with the amount of money that's been invested in this property, these homes are going to come in at a price rate that is going to price out anyone who is currently living in that area and be geared towards out-of-staters, which is tremendously negative for Sussex County as someone who has lived here all their life. The exploitative development has been detrimental to the whole county and continues to be. My main point of this is once all of these expensive homes that the county can't afford are sold to out-of-staters. Where are all of these children who are going to be living in 170 homes going to go to school when the schools are already at their limit? This also puts an added stress on our healthcare system, which, as you know, is already stressed. So where are all the people living in 123 homes going to go to the doctor? How long is it going to take for us to get to the emergency room if something were to happen to us? And I just want that to go on record that I believe it is detrimental to our community.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Operator, is there anyone else standing by who would like to speak?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Susan on the line. Susan, you're on the show.
Thank you very much. Operator, is there anyone else who would like to speak?
If anyone has recently joined the line and would like to make a comment in favor or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Dana on the line. Dana, you're on the line.
Okay, well, ma'am, this is not a forum where you get to question the applicant. You can ask questions of us, and if we choose to, we will direct the question to the applicant. But if you'd like to tell us what's on your mind, we'd be happy to hear it. Yeah, keep going.
Give them all to us.
Please continue.
Please continue. Okay, and what else? Okay, is there anything else?
The current impact on the forest and the water quality versus what they project will be once these developments
Okay.
Was that even a question?
Was that a question? Yeah. Was that a question?
Ma'am, I hate to say it, but your connection is really bad, and it's hard to follow what the questions are.
Mr. Erickson, are you comprehending any of this?
I could not make out that last one.
Okay. Well, ma'am, is there anything else? Okay, I think they've testified to at least some of those things, but the first couple questions you asked, we'll try to get an answer for you. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, I would also like to know about the nutrient runoff. How much nutrient, they were talking about how agriculture is a nutrient per acre, but what about the nutrient runoff per household, especially these households that are currently in forested areas?
Not sure.
Ma'am, it sounds like you're testifying in the form of questions. You know, a lot of this information is either in the record or it's not. And if it's not, and the commission determines that there's not sufficient information in the record, that's the determination the commission will make. But it sounds as though you're testifying with a question mark in the end of each statement. So we'll get answers to the ones that we could hear, because frankly the connection wasn't that great on your end. And we'll see what we can find out from the applicant on those. So, Mr. Erickson, if you want to come forward.
If you would come forward.
Sure.
One of the questions had to deal with how you calculated the acreage of the forested areas.
Yes.
And the open space.
So, the forested area, just to be clear, the post-development included the forest or the wooded areas that would be retained, meaning we established a limit of disturbance for the project. And everything that's forested outside, you know, outside of that limited disturbance is considered the forested area in the proposed.
Okay.
As far as open space,
so like, because you asked a question, so like if there's trails that run through that,
right? So the mulch trails,
from
the intention on the mulch trails, or I think we changed actually wood chips, but is to meander that trail to avoid tree loss when you do it. It's not intended to cut a path exactly where it is. They go out and they stake it out in efforts to retain all the trees and minimize clearing when you do it.
And then she asked also with the open space calculations, and we have a definition of open space and what's calculated in that and what's not. Does your plan, I mean, this is going to be verified by staff, but is it your testimony that that conforms to the definition of open space?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
There was one other question about the environmental assessment.
Okay, you can
I just wanted to state that the standards for the environmental assessment are what's provided in the code under 115-194.3,
right.
Not NEPA. That's what we're looking at. That's why it's simplified. That's the standard. Thank you.
We're aware. Thank you. Okay. All right. Operator, is there anyone else standing by who would like to speak?
No one else on the line has indicated they would like to speak.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we close the public hearing, let me tell you that we, the commission, appreciate your extreme patience this evening. Under the circumstances, you were reasonably well behaved, which we really appreciate. We have more business to transact this evening, believe it or not, before we can go home. So when we close the public hearing, you're all probably going to want to get up and leave. You're welcome to stay to see if we make a decision this evening, if you like. You know, we're going to go back to the very first public hearing we had, and we're going to work our way through, okay, till we get back to this one. But if you are not going to choose to stay, I know what you're going to want to get up, and it's a natural thing. You're going to want to start talking. And I'm going to ask you not to do the talking part. The get up and leave part, help yourselves. But we have more business to transact, and we kind of need the room to be quiet. So, again, thank you all for attending. Your testimony is important. We certainly heard you. And we've been admonished several times this evening to follow the code of 99-C and and all of our code, let me assure you, that's what we do. We evaluate every application against what the code requirements are. That's what our job is, okay? So that's what our job is. So I can assure you that we'll certainly be doing our job. And with that, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.